Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Sorry, I should have left it. That's fine.
Thanks. Hi. Sorry, a little bit disorganized, forgive me. So tonight, we're talking about helping one another. This year will be my 30th birthday as a Christian. I can tell you I have changed massively in that time. Thankfully, I've not got much bigger that way, but hopefully I've changed in other ways. But I've been changed by the work of God. I've been changed by my own work on myself, and I've been changed by relationships and helped by relationships. And so tonight I want to look at three key areas. I want to examine why and how our relationships in church need to be different to turn them from just relationships into fellowship. I want to highlight some of the ways that we can develop fellowship in our church, and I want to give some specific practical examples of things we can do to do more with relationship. And I don't know if you remember, but when Simon introduced this series, the idea was that it was a bit of a smorgasbord around, you know, it's a big platter of different things that we can pick and take from. So hopefully you'll be able to take some things from this. But I realize, and I've lived in Sweden as well, so I know I've experienced a smorgasbord. Not everything on the smorgasbord is to your taste, okay? Some bits might not work for you. So not everything here might land. Some of it might be, well, that's fine for you. But, you know, please take something from it, and I hope it's useful. Now, why this topic? Why now? And I mean, it's a little bit of an expectation, because I don't know if you saw the notices last week, but the notices for last week, when they talked about this week, it said, in the 8 a.m., Simon talking, the best is yet to come. The 9 a.m., Simon talking, the best is yet to come. The 10:30, the best is yet to come. And the evening, I hope you will be thoroughly disappointed. But why talk about relationships now when we're talking about Simon's move, and why do relationships need to be different? Well, I think it's really crucial now, as we go through change, that we focus on building our relationships with each other during this time of change. Now, there is nothing against Simon, who I think is absolutely brilliant, but if our relationships in church are focused on Simon, or on Fiona, or on any one single person, one individual, it won't last. And I think change like this forces us, it reminds us to remember that we are God's church. We are a group of people called to be together in a shared relationship with Him. That's what it's about. It's not about Simon and his fantastic knowledge of Viking coins. It's about so much more than that. And so let's just have a think for a moment about why relationship is so important. And I think there's two core points around that. You know, the first is relationship is at the very core, the very essence of the character of God. It's the Trinity in action. If you think back to the story of Genesis, there is God, and right in the very beginning is the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. So relationship is, you can't think of relationship and not think of God, and that's where this Celtic cross symbol comes from. I'll be honest and say I didn't know that. I just thought it looked pretty. And then I did my research and I found out that's what this represents. The Trinity of God, the different parts overlapping, all God, all in one, and right bang in the center is creation. So God is the very essence of relationship. But not just God, because also relationship is at the very core of human beings. I'm just looking around to see the age of people here. We're after a 9 o'clock warning, I guess. But none of us would be here without some kind of relationship having happened. Yeah. Mankind were created to be male and female in relationship. Now, I'm not saying from that, you know, I'm not going down the whole thing there that, you know, we're all born to get married and have babies. That's not what I'm saying. But simple biological fact that we wouldn't be here without relationships. And without relationships continuing, humanity would cease to repopulate. Okay. But deep down inside, within all of us, is a committed relationships is at the very core of how human beings are created to be. And again, you look at Genesis, and God creates mankind, and he looks at man, and he says it's not good for him to be alone. Yeah. So we're built for companionship, for relationship, etc. Okay. So fundamentally, we are designed to be in relationship, and things start to go wrong when we're not in relationship. Okay. Simultaneously, kind of when one of those circles, one of those kind of, if you think of it as circles of, there's a circle around God, there's a circle around humanity, there's a circle around relationship. When any one of those disappears, things start to get lost and ineffective. And that's why at the start of our reading here, I chose this reading because it starts with Peter saying, repent and be baptized, because part of our relationship purpose is also to get the rest of the world reunited in relationship with God. Between a lost people and a saving Savior. So we're called to live out relationship, not just in our interactions, but in our preaching and in our teaching and in our lives to restore relationship between humanity and its Savior. Okay. And Jesus gives us the perfect example of what it is to be in relationship with the Father and in relationship with the people all at once. He gives us that perfect example. But being in relationship, I don't know about you, but it's not always easy. It's actually sometimes easier to disengage, to move away from relationship. Jesus lived and breathed with the disciples for 3 years. And yet, at his biggest hour of need, they still deserted him. It was easier to remove themselves from that relationship at the time. And I don't mean that as critique, because I'd have done exactly the same. But it's easier sometimes to remove yourself from relationship. And relationship is really hard. And then in verse 42 of our reading, we read that the early church devoted themselves to breaking bread, to fellowship, to the apostles' teaching, and the Lord added to their number daily. So relationship is hard work, and yet the early church devoted themselves. I quite love that. I quite like that phrase because it's an energizing, it's a challenging phrase. It doesn't say, and the early church They made a few plans, and they got together occasionally. It's wholehearted. It's wholehearted in the word in terms of devotion. Okay. So there's an aspect there of, look, we know relationships are hard at times, but it takes a bit of energy. It takes a bit of motivation and purpose to really make them work. Now, there may be some people here, and you may know people, who have said, well, Dale, relationships in church, you know, they've come up with that phrase, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And they are absolutely right. And I don't know about you, but I can think of 101 reasons not to go to church at times. But it's absolutely true. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But it is impossible to be a Christian without being in relationship. You know, it's just defined by the nature of the phrase. You know, Christian means Christ is within. And as J. John famously said, if you take the Christ out of Christian, all you're left with is Ian. And he's not that interesting. Okay. So it is impossible to be in relationship, to be a Christian without having a relationship with the Holy Spirit within us. You're probably wondering why on earth I've got a picture of a footballer up there. And it's because, you know, you can play football on your own. I was kicking a football around in the garden this afternoon with our eldest, Micah. You know, we had fun for 15 minutes. You can play football on your own. But you can't be a footballer on your own. It's just impossible. The definition is it's a team sport. Yeah. And being a Christian is a team sport. It is a team activity. So, although you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, I'm going to stick my neck out here and say, you can't grow as a Christian in isolation. I really believe that. So then, why are relationships good? Well, I thought it would just be useful to focus a little bit about why Christian relationships are good. And here's just a few thoughts. I'm not going to go into them in detail, but just a little bit for you. The first thing is we can encourage each other. I cannot tell you the amount of times I've felt down on my own. You think you can't go on. And you share that burden with somebody, with a Christian friend, and you talk about it and you get some encouragement. So we can encourage one another in those relationships. Also, another area I think of is being in relationship is more fun. I see Michelle here at the back, and she's in my, we're in the same small group, and I know Michelle likes to run. And I remember it's probably about 10 years ago, and I'd spent years running on my own. Yeah, I like to run too, and I'd spent years, not literally years, but I used to go for a run lots of times on my own. And I remember some friends that I used to train with, different kinds of training, they said, hey, why don't we go for a run around Richmond Park together? Okay, great. I've never done that. This may not seem like a big deal to you. But I thought, okay, I'll give it a try. That's fine. And you know what? I loved it. It was great. It was really great fun running with a group of people. So it's actually fun being in a relationship with other people. Relationship enables us to get deeper. You know, if I stay in my own thinking, yeah, I might just stay at that surface level. But I'm part of a great small group, and I'll talk more about small groups in a minute. But some of the conversations we have allow us to go deeper and allow my understanding to go deeper. I love the fact that we're not all in the same place, coming from the exact same situation, and you get some questions, and I think, I really have never thought of that before. Okay. And also our Christian relationships, they really show love in action. They really, put your behavior where your mouth is, and it really shows love in action. And I think that's fantastic. So that's in terms of my thinking there is that's around how relationships are important to us as Christians, growing and developing one another together. But I also think relationships, our relationships in church, You need to show us as being different from the world around us. So just a couple of thoughts on that. And the first is that I think our relationships model acceptance. Okay. They need to model acceptance. Now, acceptance doesn't mean to say approval of something that, you know, what everybody does, but acceptance of who they are. And you think Jesus modeled that same acceptance by getting out and about with all sorts of people. Jesus broke down the barriers of his society. And I don't think he could be accused of just accepting everybody's behavior. And yet he broke down those barriers and did accept people. Accepting people for where they're at. And I'm always struck, you know, by the reality that, I'll be honest, you know, in my head, I have judgment about people all about all sorts of things, you know. And then, I read something a while ago, a good 10 years or so ago, and somebody said to me, you know that person you're judging, yeah? Jesus paid the same price for them. And that person over there who maybe you don't like, well, Jesus paid the same price for them. And that person over there who maybe you think isn't really up to the job, Jesus paid the same price for them. And it's one price for all. One size fits all. And so that's why we have to accept all. And in you look at the what's impacting us as a country at the moment of social separation and political separation, that our model of small groups, our model of relationship is accepting of everybody. So we're all adopted into Christ, regardless of our age, our gender, our race, our ability, our background. We're all accepted by Jesus, regardless of our past, and specifically set up for our future. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I find churches very middle class. It's so organized. We're so planned. We're so efficient and I don't mean this derogatory, but we're just so nice. Everybody here is so nice. And that's understandable because we live in a middle-class area. The jobs we have, the educational background we have, the lack of social diversity, all that kind of stuff means we're fairly organized, we're middle-class, and pretty nice. But I really think that Jesus didn't come to create a nice middle-class collection of people. And our relationships need to be seeking to model his relationships. I have no idea who this family is, just to be clear. Okay? I got it from the internet. Okay, I was thinking of putting a photo of my family on there, and I thought, oh, no, that really undermines my point. You know, Jesus had dinner with the lowlifes as well as the establishment. With the people that others didn't want to have dinner with, those are the people that everyone else wanted to avoid, Jesus said, that's what I want to be. Okay. So I think into that kind of situation and that background, I think our relationships can break down the loneliness and despair that exists in our society. And I was chatting with, and Kerry was telling me the Red Cross, who she works for, did some research last year, and they found that 9 million people in the UK regularly experience loneliness at times during the week. Okay, and I think that's tragic. But I think our relationships can shine a light into that darkness. Our relationships can shine a light into that darkness. And I know for a fact, because I've done prayer ministry at times, that there are even people from this church who come on a Sunday morning to a nice, middle-class, friendly, organized church, struggle with loneliness. On a Saturday night when everybody else is with their family, and maybe they don't have family around, and they're sitting in on a Saturday night, feeling lonely. And I think our relationships can break into that. So There's a little bit of a background there in terms of, you know, my thinking and where I think the Bible and what God is telling us about relationships. So what I want to do now is just go a little bit faster and highlight a few things that I think we can do to develop more relationships. And for those of you who know me and know some of the stuff I'm involved in at church, it won't surprise you for the very first one to be about small groups. So let's just talk very briefly. Why small groups? Why do I think small groups are a good idea? Well, simple, they are a good idea. They're the way that the church grew originally. They're the way that churches which are growing continue to grow. they're a way which is proven historically to continue to grow church congregations, right? It was a model that Jesus followed and has carried on ever since. The early church met in people's homes, okay? Small groups allow us to get involved. Small groups are proven to get people more engaged in their faith and in the active life of the church, okay? They are proven to deepen people's faith, okay? So they help us develop in our faith. Because it's easy at times to sit in church and have somebody give a talk, and you think, oh, that was really quite interesting. But in a small group, when somebody says, oh, that's interesting, what are you going to do about it? Oh, all right, okay, it's a little bit tougher then, okay? They strengthen and they add depth to our relationships, okay? And they provide a crucial support network that is often not there on a Sunday morning, and that's or on a Sunday. You know, that's not to critique the Sunday service, it's just to say the forms of interaction it just makes it hard to have those connections and really deepen those relationships. Okay, now just to touch briefly, we call them small groups here at St. Paul's. We've got about 11 taking place. We've got around about a third of the church is attending a small group, and if you look at the way churches grow and develop, a third of the people attending small group, I'm going to be really frank here, it's not enough. It's not enough to enable sustained growth. Yeah, we need to really be having more people involved in small groups. I'll be entirely honest with you and say my vision, my passion, my desire is that all of us, every single one of us, is involved with a small group. Now, let me just caveat that. I'm not saying that I think everybody should be going to a weekly meeting, because I know that doesn't work for some people, yeah? People have got all sorts of issues and reasons why not. But I kind of equate it to a bit of a family gathering, yeah? And you might have heard me talk before. I don't have a great family, but I know this experience that when Christmas comes, I'm going to get a postcard. I'm going to get a Christmas card. I'm going to get a call saying, hey, what are you doing for Christmas? Do you want to come to ours? Okay. So even though I don't have a close family, I still get the invite. I'm still thought of. I'm still a part of that connection. So if you can't make a small group every week, brilliant. None of us can. But we want you to be, and I say we, I have discussed this with Simon, you know, and we've got a shared vision here. But we want everybody to be involved in a small group and feel part of a small group, okay? It doesn't have to meet in someone's home. It could meet in a pub. It could have a special focus. It could be generic. One of the things I love about my small group, apart from the fact that most of them are here tonight rooting for me, which is great, is that it's diverse. You know, I mean, when I was in my early 30s and I was single again, I didn't want it diverse. I wanted it all young 30-year-old females. But things have changed now. And it's diverse. I love the diversity of it. I love the fact that we've got Glyn in our group, who just has a billion years of experience squashed into a very short space of time, who just shares his wisdom and experience. We've got other people who have changed in their faith, who are developing in their faith. And we've got a wide range, you know, and I love that. It's absolutely brilliant. So, you know, the mix of people in your small groups can be great. I'm also part of a small group which is just dads from Kids Zone You know, if you've got kids in Kids Zone, a group of us dads get together, and we just meet up once a month, and we just go for a beer, yeah? And the last time we were together, we were talking about making sure that people know that they can build on that relationship, so it's not just beer. And you can communicate and ask for help and support if you want, okay? So small groups are great. If you're not in one, please, please, please consider it. We need to start more small groups as well. So please, please, please think about that. Think about starting a small group. Think about hosting a small group. Think about leading a small group if you've got those skills. We need more small groups, because the last time I did a push on small groups, lots of people said, great, I'd love to join one. And we've only got 10, and they were all 80, 90% full, so there wasn't much space. We've started one more. We've got another one due to start soon, so please, if you're up for it, start a small group, host a small group, pray for a small group, lead a small group, get small groups going. The other thing I want to talk about is prayer triplets. Again, I'll be honest, it's a slightly random photo, but it's all I could find with triplets. But what's a prayer triplet? Is anybody a part of a prayer triplet? Great, okay, good. So a prayer triplet is a group of people just coming together to pray. And, you know, a small group might be more of a regular, more of a sustained amount of time. I've been in prayer triplets in the past, and we just met for 15 minutes. You know, I was a group of guys. We'd just get together. We used to go to a coffee shop. We'd walk in, morning, how's it going? Yeah, great, let's do it. Bang, poof. And just prayed. And we just prayed for 15 minutes about stuff, and we went away, okay? It doesn't need a huge amount of time, but it's great to have that, what's the word, consistency, that continuity of prayer support, knowing that people have got your back on that. You might want to focus in a prayer triplet. You might want to focus it around your work. Around people doing the same kind of job who share the same kind of challenges. Let's get a group of teachers together to do a prayer triplet. You know, let's get a group of bankers together. Are there any bankers here? No? Don't they need it? That was a joke. Get a group of bankers together to have a prayer triplet. Or people working in the city, you know, doing that same commute. Yeah, I've not done this myself, but I think of a former church, and I had some friends who all used to get on the train at Twickenham station. They used to catch the early train, and they would just, before they got on the train, they'd stand on the platform and they'd say, "What are we praying about with you? What are we praying about with you? What are we praying about with you?" And they'd use from Twickenham to Clapham Junction to silently pray for each other. And then after once they left Clapham Junction, bang, that's it. They'd get the paper out, carry on, just ignore each other again. So. So you know, you might do that. So potentially a prayer triplets. What about mentoring? Now, mentoring is another form of relationship that you might find useful. Mentoring, the idea is, you know, somebody with a bit more age, wisdom, experience meets with somebody who's maybe a little bit younger, less experienced, and they share some of their experience. And they help them develop in their faith. It might be generally, it might be more specifically. I've mentored youth leaders in the past. I've mentored people who are younger in their faith in the past. And I've been mentored in the past. I don't have I kind of do actually. But I don't have a specific mentor at the moment. But it might be something that you think, actually, yeah, I could happily spend some time praying with and mentoring somebody from this church. Jen Burtonshaw, who runs the... is it youth, kids? Youth, great. I know they need mentors for the youth, okay? I should caveat that and say they need suitable mentors for the youth. So if that's something that appeals to you and you think, actually, yeah, I could spend a bit of time, it's not a massive commitment. You know, when I've mentored in the past, it might be an hour once a month to meet up with somebody, find out what's going on, find out how they're getting on in their faith, support them, maybe pray for them in between that time, etc., and support them in that sense. Okay, if that's something that interests you, please email the church office and ask Jen. Yeah, and say that's something that you might be keen on. Within all of these relationships, there's an element of there's an element of accountability. There's an element of exposing ourselves into a bit of vulnerability, OK? Okay? And I was working with a group from church yesterday morning. We were talking about this as well, about, you know, getting on the edge of our comfort zone. And if we stay in our comfort zone, it's a bit boring, yeah? And nothing really happens, yeah? So maybe find your comfort zone and just push yourself a little bit to extend outside of that and think about that area. Take a few risks in our faith. You know, Jesus didn't come to give us a nice, middle-class, safe faith. We weren't called to a gospel of safety. Rather, we're called to live on the edge and not to be comfortable. And if you look at the early church, if you look at some of those great movements that are of God that have happened throughout history, they've come about when people say, let's risk it. Let's try something. As Sainsbury say, let's try something new today. Yeah. Okay, so what I wanted to do is just get practical on a few small things that we could do to build our relationships more in church. So I want to outline some things that you can actually do, and then just give you a couple of minutes to think about these, and I'm going to do something really radical. Bear with me, okay? So, you know, the first thing, in terms of on our comfort zone, is you might just extend an existing relationship, yeah? You know what I mean? When sometimes our relationships are surface level, particularly in Southwest London. How's things going? Oh, it's all fine. Yeah. And fine just should be eliminated from our vocabulary, yeah? So what about actually we extend our relationship and actually we're a bit more honest with people and we tell people about, actually, I'm a bit concerned about this. Actually, I've got this coming up. It's quite a big week for me. What about as well if we just share a bit more about ourselves, you know? Go beyond that surface and we tell people something maybe they don't know about us, you know. I'm not terrified, but I hate water. I just hate it. I love swimming apart from the water. And I, you know, so tell somebody something that they don't know about you. So you deepen, add depth to that relationship. Take a little bit of risk there, okay? So that's one thing that we could potentially do. Here's a few other things, okay? Some screenshots here. You could connect on Facebook, okay? Some of you may not be Facebookites. Glenn and I were talking about this earlier. You might not be a Facebooker, but you might be. You could go on to Facebook and you could like our Facebook page. And so I don't know if you work mobile or not, but you know we've got a Facebook page on for St. Paul's Church. You could go on and if you just like it. You know, this is the way social media works. The more people that like it, the more people that want to like it, okay? It would be great to have people coming in saying, oh, what brought you here? I saw all these people liking this place on the internet, and so I thought I'd give it a try. You could also join, once you go to the St. Paul's book page on Facebook, you could go and have a look at our small groups page. If you're in a small group, we've got a special group on Facebook for small group members. Please join it up, contribute to that. Lots of people connect socially on the internet via technology nowadays. I met my wife on the internet. It's a good way to make relationships. Also, what about potentially, that's all about that. You know, you might know this already, but we've got a new church website. Hurrah! Yeah. It's not been hacked by Russia yet. So please go on and like it. Again, I don't know if you know this or not, but the way websites work is the more traffic they get, the higher up the hit list they get when you go and Google it, okay? So if you're sitting here and you're looking for, I'm feeling a bit lonely, I'd like to go to a church in Kingston, and you type church in Kingston, the more people that have been on our page, okay, the more likely it is to come top of the list, okay? So go in, please have a look at our website. And you can follow that. If you're any tweeters, you can follow us on Twitter as well. Here's another one for you. You could go on to the Church Suite app, right? Now, I'm great with faces, and I'm terrible with names, okay? you know what? There's only about 20% of our people on the Church Suite app have got a photo of yourselves on. You could go onto the Church Suite app. These are screenshots from my phone. You could go on and onto the app, and you could take a photo of yourself. It's really easy, okay? And that will go onto your profile, so people will see you. Right? What about this? You could send a text message to a friend asking them to join a prayer triplet. I'm not making this up. I was working on this talk. You probably say I wasn't working hard enough, but I was working on this talk, and I thought, I'm talking about prayer triplets, and I'm not in one. So I got out my phone, I texted a couple of friends, and I said, hey, I'm talking about being in a prayer triplet. I'm not in one. Want to join one? Bing, straight back, straight away, one of my friends said, yeah, sure, that sounds like a great idea. Okay, so you might want to take out your phone, buzz a few friends, and say, what about joining a prayer triplet? Or you might take out your phone and send a message to someone who's maybe a teacher or a banker or catches the train into town. No, you cycle, don't you? Who cycles into town with you and say, hey, do you want to connect every now and again and just share some of our common journey? Okay. So there's a few kind of smorgasbord items for you to think about. And here's the really radical bit, because you know in the notices at the beginning on the rolling thing, it says, please turn your phone off. Yeah. So I'm going to do the opposite and say, let's take a minute, and maybe you want to take your phone out and you want to actually text a friend and say, Dale's been rabbiting on about joining starting a prayer triplet. You fancy it? You might want to do that. You might want to send a text to a good Christian friend you've got and just say, maybe we could meet up for coffee and see how things are going. Okay. You might want to just turn to somebody who's near you and say, what is Dale talking about with Facebook and Twitter and the Church Suite app? And you can say, build that relationship by saying, I have no idea either. Tell me how your week's going. Okay. So I'm just going to give us a minute, or I'll give us 2 minutes, to have a little bit of a rumble of activity where you can maybe take something from the smorgasbord. And then we'll come back together. We'll just say a quick prayer, and Leslie will take back over again. Is that all right? Okay. So please, take out your phone. Don't turn it off. Turn it on. Tweet. Do whatever you need to do. Be back in a minute. Download it, we've got Wi-Fi. So, let me finish by saying, I realize that some people will be sitting here kind of going, Dale, I'm not on the internet, that doesn't really interest me at all. But for us to build really strong community, we've got to push our boundaries, okay? And the real boundary we've got to push is our own reservation of, oh, I couldn't possibly talk about that, okay? So I'd really encourage us, even if you're not using that technology, you know, if you use the phone, pick up the phone and say, actually, I've got a need. I could do with some help on this. I could do with some support on this. I could do with this connecting, okay? And I truly believe that as we start to be a little bit more brave in saying, I need help on this, I could do with prayer on this, I could do with your support on this, and connecting by whatever medium, that God will just abundantly pour out his blessings into our relationships, and we'll reap the rewards of that. Okay. Should we just finish by praying? I know we normally bow our heads and close our eyes, but I just wonder if we might look around at the people around us as we pray, because I just want to say, Lord, I pray for the people here. I pray that I will develop better relationships with these people. I pray that I would be willing to be honest and admit when I have needs. And I pray that we would be able to support one another in growing together and growing more like you as we focus on you. Amen.